I'm Mitch Teich, and this is Lake Effect from WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio. Thanks for tuning in today. Shauna Singh Baldwin is a writer of much literary renown. Her novels, short fiction, and even nonfiction have been well-received, gathering a variety of prestigious literary awards. But even though Baldwin has made her home in Milwaukee for years, her work is better known in the country where she was born, Canada, and the one in which she was raised, India. But that will hopefully change soon. Baldwin's most recent collection of short fiction, called We Are Not in Pakistan, has just been released in the United States. Shauna Singh Baldwin joins us in the Lake Effect studio. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me, Mitch.
Now, what some people might remember and what some people might not remember is that before you were a writer, you were actually a radio producer here in Milwaukee.
That's right. I had a radio show in the early 90s on WYMS. And it was called Suno, the East Indian American radio show where you don't have to be East Indian to listen. And Suno means listen, so it was a half-hour show.
And what was the show like? Tell me a little bit more about it.
It was kind of an audio magazine, and I did interviews, and I did poetry with music behind, and all kinds of different things related to India. And to Indians in general, and what people were doing, and I got into a lot of interviews where I was giving advice to new immigrants or interviewing new immigrants. So that's how my first book came about, A Foreign Visitor's Survival Guide to America, came out of the interviews that we did on WYMS. And my co-author and myself interviewed about 160. New immigrants and foreign students. And so that book came out of the radio show. And the other book that came out of the radio show was English Lessons and Other Stories.
And aside from the subject matter that grew out of the radio show, how did your time in radio impact your skill, do you think, as a writer?
Oh, very much so. I think radio made me so conscious of sound and meaning and how those are related. And I come from a very oral culture in the first place. And of course, writing stories was just natural then, going from the spoken word into telling stories on the radio. So my early stories are quite short, about half an hour. It was the radio show, so they had to be short. And so the stories in English Lessons and Other Stories are just very, very tightly written. And that's another thing that radio taught me, is how to write tight, because every word counts, and how to avoid homonyms.
Well, and to that end, do you hear these stories spoken aloud as you're writing them?
Yes, I do. And I think that for me, the voice comes first. The voice, the sound, the person's pain coming through, the tone of the voice, intonation comes first. And also, I think it made me conscious of the performance of reading your stories after the fact. And so that's helped me as I go around and actually do readings and appear in person. I think it's helped my public speaking, just to be conscious of the uhs and ums and getting rid of those, for instance. All that was early days at WYMS.
Well, and I imagine the ability to write believable dialogue and dialogue that rings true comes in part from talking to a lot of people all the time.
Yes, it does. And I think that when you're an interviewer, you know that people don't always answer exactly the question that you asked. And I love those kind of little diversions and digressions. And that, of course, prepares you for novel writing, because it is in the digression and in the interiority of the character that we actually find out more about the person. So I'm used to being on the other side of this of this equation here.
You mentioned sound and meaning, and that's a nice segue to your current collection of stories called We Are Not in Pakistan. And you were telling me that radio is an especially appropriate medium to be discussing this collection, because just the word Pakistan has multiple meanings depending on how you say it?
Actually, the whole title does, depending on how you say it. If you emphasize we are not in Pakistan, of course it has one set of meanings in terms of that denial. If you say we are not in Pakistan, it has, again, the connotation of denial. But if you say we are not in Pakistan, it means, and I hope that people will come to this meaning, it means we are not in the land of the pure. And of course, the word Pakistan means the land of the pure. And there is no such place in the world today. So I hope that people will come to that meeting, but I don't mind if they use the other two intonations first. The title is The Refrain of a Mixed-Race Teenager with a Pakistani Grandmother. And in my story, in the title story, Kathleen hangs on to her belief that life in America is nothing like Pakistan until events prove her wrong.
Well, and that story in particular, we certainly don't want to give away endings to stories, but the story is really about connections, especially connections in the post 9/11 world.
Yes, and it's just how the stories turned out. I think in pursuing the problems that these characters had, they all seem to have problems that are related to a post 9/11 very paranoid, very difficult world, and dealing with that. And these are people on the periphery. These are not people who are mainstream, you know, people you think of as Americans. These are people who have other links to the world, and what is going to happen to them? And that's what this book is all about. We Are Not in Pakistan.
You have links to a variety of places in the world as well. If I'm correct, you were born in Canada and grew up in New Delhi, mm-hmm. and have lived in Milwaukee for many years. Do you feel those kinds of connections in a similar way? I mean, is there a thread of connections that goes through your own life as it does through some of the characters in that particular story?
I feel the connections. I also feel the disconnections since 9/11, and I think that certainly before 9/11, there were many more connections, but those have been broken since 9/11, because I think Americans have allowed themselves to be controlled by the fears of a few monocultural, monolingual people at the top since 9/11. So pluralism has become kind of the common enemy of both the literalist mullah and the literalist Christian and many in between. So post 9/11, I would say, the number of connections has definitely dropped. But I also think that the fear of that pluralism comes from ignorance, and ignorance protects itself and then closes us off. So then the only worldview that feels logical is our own. I think that's how the people in the stories also are dealing with that, just as I am, yes.
There seems to be an attitude that if you can take anything that's different and throw it out and allow it to come back through a sieve, and only the things that are the same will end up making their way through.
Yeah, the melting pot idea, that old idea, you know, that is an idea for a bygone era in which sort of either-or thinking was the norm. But I think today we can't afford the arrogance at the heart of that melting pot objective and that myth of American exceptionalism, you know, it just doesn't exist anymore. And so if we're going to move past this difficult phase we're in, I think polyculturalism and multilingualism have to be, you know, celebrated again and move back into hybridity. So I think if we do that, then we can recover those connections, yes.
I don't always look closely at dedications, but in this case, I thought the dedication in your current collection was interesting. You write, and I'm not going to be able to pronounce it, but for Adesh Bouaji.
Bouaji, yes.
Who said to keep my stories short, and Manjeet Uncle, who said to keep them long.
Yes.
you wrote two very well-regarded novels before you switched to becoming a short story writer.
Yes.
What does the short story form give you that the novel does not?
I think it's a place of experimentation for me. It's also a place where so much that I've learned from writing a novel in terms of the history and how it affects the present can come in, because these short stories and the ones that I've written before are mostly contemporary. I have written two books of historical fiction, and of course then these are contemporary. So whatever I've learned from the novel writing somehow comes into the short stories, and I hope that they're denser and more kind of interesting for that, you know, yeah.
Do I understand, though, are you turning back to novel writing, or you're
oh, yes,
at work on a novel?
Yes, of course. I mean, anything that you look at for a long time turns into a novel, I think. And so I think if you can give it space and if you can allow it to stretch its legs a little, then yes, it will become a novel.
Talk a little bit about, if you will, your background in so many different places and how that impacts I guess, more than just the setting of your stories and your novels, but I guess beyond that, their feel as well, the ability to capture the essence of a sense of place with your background in a variety of places.
Yes, I have an IT background, and that's my main job kind of thing. So I'm able to do a lot of research, and also I think my co-author for my first book, Marilyn Levine, taught me a lot about library research and trying to bring that into fiction writing. So yes, I do count on that, and also talking to people, because to me, again, back to radio and back to business, it is the real stories of people and the real lived lives that should be sort of celebrated and mirrored in fiction. So I think there's an interplay back and forth between fiction and real life. And yes, I like to keep that up. My husband and I own the Safe House downtown, and you know, it's a place where good spies go for shelter, but it's also a place where you can find anybody who you wish to interview. They will walk in there at some point or the other. So the business background and the, you know, I was at Marquette for an MBA in the early 80s, and I think that also helps me to understand motivation of characters, because so much of what we do is based on economics, and we may make religion the excuse and we may make other things the excuse, but at heart, you know, we come down to it, and really it's economics that guides us, and so guides our self-interest. And so for me, real life seems to bleed into fiction and vice versa.
But you actually, you interview people that come into the Safe House?
Oh, absolutely. If I need to find somebody, I can put out the word. And pretty soon, it's amazing how one person will lead to another and say, you know, I know somebody who you might be able to talk to. And that's marvelous. I mean, my second novel, The Tiger Claw, was drew on the experience of a gentleman whose name is Gaston Vandermeersch. And Gaston was the only true spy that we know who's ever come into the Safe House. And he told me about Noor Inayat Khan, whose story then became The Tiger Claw. And that was a true story from World War II. But Gaston had written his own book, Gaston's War, and he had come across the story of Noor Inayat Khan while he was researching his own book. So he came into the Safe House one day and he said, well, haven't you heard the story? And I said, no, I'm afraid not. He said, this is an Indian woman. I said, well, you know, there's a lot of Indian women around. And he said, well, you know, this one is a princess. And I said, Gaston, in the 40s, every Indian woman was an Indian princess. And of course, now we're all computer programmers or writers. So so he said, no, you have to hear this story. And so that story turned into, based on a true story, the story of Noor Inayat Khan in World War II, and how she was dropped into World War II France, occupied France, and how she searched for her beloved through that era, through that time.
So is the moral of the story that aspiring writers should own restaurants?
I think aspiring writers should talk to people. That's the moral, yes.
Well, thank you so much, and I hope we can have you on the program again.
Thank you so much for having me.
Shauna Singh Baldwin's newest book is called We Are Not in Pakistan. It's a collection of stories. Baldwin lives in Milwaukee, where she and her husband own the notorious spy-themed restaurant called The Safe House. Some music next to round out the show with Mexican singer Lila Downs. Keep listening. This is Lake Effect.